On January the 31st, 1829, the governor of New York wrote this letter to President Andrew Jackson. Dear Mr. President, as you know, railroad carriages are pulled at the enormous speed of 15 miles per hour by engines which roar and snort their way through the countryside of New York. They're setting fire to our crops, they're scaring our livestock, and frightening our women and children. Almighty God certainly never intended that people should travel at such breakneck speeds, and I hope you do something about it. Sincerely, Martin Van Buren, Governor of New York. Well, times change, don't they? They change fast. The only certain thing in life is change itself. The pace is not slackening. The pace is increasing. And because change is often difficult, and because our Lord is aware of our struggle with it, He sent us what I call a personal change agent, a PCA, in the person of the Holy Spirit, God present with us, to help us navigate the changes of our lives. And that's what I want to talk about in this sermon today. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. He is talking about leaving them and parting from them. And they have the typical reaction to change that you and I have. They were sorrowful and they were resistant. And yet Jesus had this to say to them in verse 7 of the text that we've read for you this morning. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. For unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The Holy Spirit will help you face the changes of your life. That's the truth that I want you to hear today. Change is natural. It's here all the time. Some of you have got kids graduating from high school or college. Some of you are graduating from college or some other school of learning. These are exciting and emotional days. These are days of great laughter and great days of great tears. Across every community, because you know things are about to change. Things are not going to continue to be the way things are. It's that time of year. When our last son went away to college and the milk spoiled in the refrigerator, Sandy cried for days. When I got the first bill for the tuition and the room and board, I cried for days. It's not easy to let go. Letting go is hard to do. All of us have been there and experienced it someplace in life. Let me ask you a sixth grade science question. What's the largest organ in your body? Your skin, at least two or three knew. The kids know all these answers to life. Your skin is the largest organ in your body. Skin is a great benefit to us. I mean, without your skin, some of you look worse than you already do. Without our skin, the other organ just be hanging out all over the place. You know, a liver here and a heart over there somewhere. Skin has tremendous benefit. Well, the human anatomy, and yet the skin, according to science, the cells, skin cells on the surface of your body change to the tune of 30 to 40,000 a minute. That's how fast you're changing right now. By the way, when you leave the sanctuary today, would you kind of sweep up all your discarded skin that you leave behind? Change is natural, isn't it? But sometimes change is sudden, unexpected, painful, hard, Some of us are praying for family today that a week or so ago lost a 20-year-old college student. He'd finished exams, had a little party, called his mother and said, "I'm coming on home." And she said, "No, you ought to stay and rest up." And he said, "No, I can make it." But he got in the car anyway, headed home, fell asleep, had an accident, lost his life. Changed his heart. Difficult. There may have been a time when job security was something a person might expect in this world. Pledge your loyalty to a company and a company will be loyal to you for an entire lifetime. Companies used to pledge that. I can remember that happening. But that's not true anymore. Not true anywhere anymore. Oh, I know, we dress it up in all kinds of nice words. We call it downsizing, shifting, and all that, but it sounds a lot like being fired to me. Some change is hard, difficult. Bad news from the doctor, you get it? Unfortunate news from a test that you've had run. But disease becomes a dis-ease in the midst of all of life. You didn't ask for, you don't deserve it, and you certainly were not consulted about whether or not it was convenient for you. You just got it. And now you got to deal with it. Such change is hard, extremely hard. And because change is difficult, and because change is often painful, and even when it's natural, we can't get away from it. God recognizes our need for some help, so he sends us the Holy Spirit right in the midst of life to help us, to comfort us, to heal us, and to guide us through the changes of our days, when other helpers fail and comforts flee. Oh, help of the helpless, abide with me. I don't know about you, but I pray that prayer a lot. The Holy Spirit to help you face the changes of your life that are certain to come. The Holy Spirit will facilitate the changes that need to happen. The only worse thing than changing is not changing. We must change in order to live and survive. And so Jesus says to his disciples in this moment of change in their lives, he says, "I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." And here's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And we're in verse 8 now, if you're following with me. He will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Now that's an interesting word, convict. It could be translated convince. It could be translated expose. It could be translated enlighten. All of those would be correct translations of the phrase of what this Holy Spirit is supposed to be doing for us when he comes to facilitate the way. And the Holy Spirit enlightens or convinces us of sin and righteousness and judgment. Those are harsh kinds of words, so let me try to put them in the 21st century. The Holy Spirit convinces us of our need to change. You're never going to move to something better until you get tired of what is. And the Holy Spirit's going to help you do that. That's true for you personally in your own personal life. It's true for a church. It's true for a community. You worship today in one of the oldest congregations in Brentwood, Tennessee. This church has been here 155 years. You cannot find another congregation of 6,600 members plus in this community that's been here anything close to that long. The churches that are closest to our size are newer, much newer churches than this congregation. The churches that have similar history to ours are small, tiny, one-room family chapels. I don't care what denomination you're talking about. Just drive up and down Franklin Road. Or if you need a little directions, I'll be glad to tell you where to find them. And people in this congregation and people around the country call me and say, you know, what's the deal? The books will tell you that churches formed before 1960 will decline and won't make a transition. And I say to the authors of the books, come and see. Just come and see. That's all. And the reason is very, very simple. It's in one sentence. The people who came before us were willing to sacrifice their self-interest for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never let us forget that. Well, as one church father likes to say, was in the 8:30 service worship today, as he is every Sunday. He said Brentwood was changing, and we made a decision that we were going to change with it. And that's been the guiding principle of this congregation. A foundational understanding of who we are and why we're here. And may that spirit pervade not only today, but all the days that are to come in this community of faith. That we would be inspired and moved and touched by trying to find a need and fill it. By the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to help us see a need to constantly change. Holy Spirit to do that for you. The Holy Spirit to give you a vision of rightness. What was it John Bunyan put it? Couldst thou in vision see the man God meant, no longer couldst thou be the man thou art content. That's what vision does. You see, people resist change because they can't see it. And it's the responsibility of every individual who wants to improve on their life. It's the responsibility of every visionary in a church. It is the responsibility of every visionary in a community to be able to paint the picture of what's out there so that people can follow it and grasp it and understand it and move with it. That's how change happens. Again and again, I read the book of Acts and a little bit of church history and stand in just deep, humble amazement. Can you imagine how it is that a handful of believers could convince the world that a Roman criminal was the savior of humankind? That's staggering to me. And yet I ask you today, isn't that the story of Christianity? The Jesus Christ, as Peter said again and again, whom you crucified as a common criminal, is the savior of the world. How did that happen? The Holy Spirit moved the hearts of people. That's how it happened. Because the Holy Spirit will convince you of the rightness of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will help you take the plunge. Life is full of judgment, my friends, not because I say it, because life is made that way. Life will decide for you. You can hesitate making up your mind, but you cannot hesitate making up your life. For your life's going to get made up one way or another. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. Life has a principle of judgment and accountability built right in it. You can't avoid it. To live is to live in judgment. And the Holy Spirit helps remind us of that. According to the Washington Post, a young man by the name of Aaron Gorey rejected religious services, didn't like church rituals, didn't want anything to do with organized religion. Until his 5-year-old daughter one day started talking to him about why is it the people die and where is it they go when they die and is that all there is? He decided he might need a little help on questions like that. So he found a Christian day school and enrolled his daughter in it. And he himself started attending services. And it wasn't quick. And it wasn't overnight, but little by little by little, he came to believe in the faith that he once rejected. And so the truth of that old prophet Isaiah, centuries before Jesus, a little child shall lead them. A little child shall lead them. That's why what we do here with babies week after week is so critically important. Many of us got to church because of our children and grandchildren. And if the Lord chooses through the Holy Spirit to use your child to bring you to faith, thank God. Take the plunge. Dare to believe your life will be better because of it. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God will facilitate the change that needs to happen in life. One more thing. The Holy Spirit will help you flow with the changes of life. Help you in two ways to do that. One is to honor the past. Listen to verse 14. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not three gods. They are one. They are united. To speak of God is to speak of the Holy Spirit. To speak of the Holy Spirit is to speak of Jesus. You can't have one without the other because they're all connected to the other. And churches that want to split off one phase of the Trinity and make that part of the Trinity all of God ought to go back and read the Bible for God's sake. Because in the Scriptures, the Trinity is always together. And one honors the other. So Jesus says, nothing new about this Holy Spirit I'm bringing to you. He's just going to teach you what I taught you. And let me tell you, there's nothing new about what I've got to say. The Father and I are one. Let us get real about our religion. That's the way it is. And so it is that the Holy Spirit helps us honor the past. The problem of change agents is that they think the world was in terrible shape before they showed up. And that's just wrong. If you haven't heard something about the Luis Palau Festival in Nashville. You've been, I don't know where you've been. I'm going to try to find out who their marketing director is and see if I can hire them. They've certainly saturated this community with a great festival that's going on downtown, and I hope you take your children and your teenagers and your neighbor kids. You know, give your neighbors a break. Take their kids down to the festival this afternoon. A great sense of gratitude we owe to Stuart McWhorter, who's a very active member of this congregation, who's chaired this bringing of this festival to Nashville. We owe him a great debt of gratitude. Great young man in this church. I was a little meeting Thursday night with Luis Palau, sitting chatting about life and faith. And he said, "Howard, you're a Methodist, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I am sometimes." He said, "I don't find many Methodists at my festivals." But he said, "Let me tell you." He said, "You Methodists are the people that started this stuff." He just come from Scotland. He said, It's you Methodists that got all this stuff started. It was you Methodists and Charles and John Wesley and Whitfield in England. It was you Methodists and Francis Asbury in Kentucky and Ohio and Indiana that started the great awakenings that have produced the churches that are here today. For God's sake, what I'm doing is just what the Methodists have been doing for 200 years. Where are you now?" He made me think about a prayer I pray often. That somehow the Holy Spirit would sweep over this denomination that I love and awaken us again to the great movements of the Spirit that are going on in this country and around the world to warm up these old dead cold hearts of ours and give us life. It's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit will tell you what's yet to come, verse 13. Catch that phrase? He tell you what's yet to come. Not some sort of palm reader. He tell you about tomorrow. Let me tell you, I don't know much of anything about tomorrow. But there are two or three things of which I am absolutely certain. Just totally certain. The first is this: when I get to where I'm going, God will already be there. The second thing I know, but just know, and that is, whenever I face whatever I have to face, that the grace of God will be sufficient. I know that. I don't know much, but there are three things I know. That when I get to where I'm going, God will already be there. When I face whatever I have to face, that God's grace will be sufficient. And the third is this: that with the Holy Spirit, is the paraclete is what John uses. It means the person called alongside you, a recruit, a support. When the Holy Spirit is by your side, it's all right. It's all right. Even when it's all wrong, it's all right. Maybe Brad Paisley saint that says it better than I do got a big award for it this week. When I got to where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears. I will shed the sins and sorrows that I've carried all these years. And I'll have my heart wide open. And I will love and have no fear. Because when I get to where I'm going, don't cry for me down here. I don't know what the price of gasoline's going to be tomorrow. I'm not totally certain that you're going to be healthy the rest of today. But this I know, that God is in your tomorrows, and that the Holy Spirit will help you get through today. Don't go home without Him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, sometimes we're scared and anxious and like things the way they are. That's why we need you so much. We thank you for the promise and the presence and the power of your being with us. We welcome the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Come to somebody that's lonely. Come to somebody who's trying to believe and can't. Come to somebody who's confused and weary. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come, Holy Spirit. Come.